ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय। चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 5, Text Number 41. Deva, Rishi, Bhuta, Apta, Dranam, Pitranam, Na, Ayam, Drini, Cha, Rajan, Mana, सर्वात्मना य शरण्यं गतः मुकुन्द मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तं देवर्षिभूतानां पितॄणां न किं करोयो नायं ऋणी च राजन्। सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यं गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तं देवर्षिभूतानां पितॄणां न किं करो नायं ऋणी च राजन्। सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यं गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तं देवर्षिभूतानां पितॄणां न किं करो नायं ऋणी च राजन्। सर्वात्मनाय शरणं शरण्यं गतो मुकुन्दं परिहृत्य कर्तं Mataji's. Deva of the demigods, Rishi of the sages, Bhuta of ordinary living entities, Apta of friends and relatives, Dranam of ordinary men, Pitranam of the forefathers, Na, not, Kinkaraha, the servant, Na, nor, I am, this one, Drani, debtor, Cha, also, Rajan, O king, Sarvatmana, with his whole being, Ya, a person who, Sharanam, shelter, Sharanyam, the Supreme Lord, who affords shelter to all. Gataha, approached. Mukundam, Mukunda. Parihritya, giving up. Kartam, duties. Translation. O king, one who has given up all material duties and has taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who offers shelter to all, is not indebted to the demigods, great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even one's forefathers who have passed away. Since all such classes of living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, one who has surrendered to the Supreme Lord's service has no need to serve such persons separately. The last part of the purport. The example may be given that sometimes a state government may distribute benefits originally provided by the federal government. So one who becomes the personal secretary or minister to the chief executive of the federal government has no further obligation to the less important representatives of the state government. Therefore, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. As long as one is not satiated by fruity activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by hearing and chanting about the Supreme Lord, one has to act according to the regulative principles of the Vedic injunctions. The conclusion is that one who has fully surrendered to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord is a first-class human being. People in general are only eager to receive benedictions from demigods, family members and society because such benedictions are conducive to material sense gratification. Less intelligent persons consider such material progress to be the only goal of life and thus cannot appreciate the exalted position of pure devotional service to the Lord. Bhakti Yoga or pure devotional service is meant to directly please the senses of the Supreme Lord. Envious materialistic persons propose various arguments to deny that the Supreme Lord even has transcendental senses. The devotees, however, do not waste time doubting the inconceivable beauty, strength, wealth and geniality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but directly please the Supreme Lord's senses through loving service and thus receive the supreme benediction of going back home back to Godhead. The devotees return to the Lord's abode where life is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. No demigod, family member or forefather can give one an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. However, if one foolishly neglects the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and instead accepts the temporary material body to be everything, then one must certainly perform elaborate sacrifices, austerities and charity and fulfill all of the obligations mentioned above. Otherwise, one becomes completely sinful and condemned, even from the material point of view. Hare Krishna. Yasyam Vaishruyamanaya Krishne Paramapurushe Bhakturutpaddate Punsa Shokamoha Bhayapaha. So it is explained, Yasyam Vaishruyamanaya Krishne Paramapurushe. That means when one hears attentively about the Supreme Lord, Yasyam Vaishruyamanaya, a form of Supreme Lord Krishna, what happens? Bhaktiruttadvate pumsa. Pure devotional service is awakened in the heart of a person, one who hears. And what else happens? Shoka moha bhayapaham. All the lamentation, illusion and fear goes away. That means fear, we fear because we may fear because something may happen tomorrow. That is about future. And in the past something has happened, so we are worried about it. So this happened, that happened. And presently we are illusioned. So all three tenses are taken place. And not only that, one is awarded with pure devotional service when one hears the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in today's discussion, we'll be going through this verse wherein Nimi Maharaj has asked this question to one of the Navayogendras, and in answer to that, Nimi asked question, Karabhajana is answered. So we'll go through. So there were 100 sons of Rishabhadev, and Rishabhadev being the eldest, he was supremely devoted to the Supreme Lord Narayana, and other 9 of his sons became the rulers of 9 Varshas, and 81 of his other sons, they became ritualistic Brahmanas, initiating sacrifices all over. And remaining 9 devotees, they are called as Navayogendras, they became preaching mendicants, pure devotees of the Lord. They went all around and preached the glories of pure devotional service. So they came to the kingdom of Nimi Maharaj, and Nimi Maharaj asked this question to all of them, and they are Kavi, Havir, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalayana, Avihotra, Dumila, Chamasa and Karabhajana, 9 of them. And King Nimi asked question to each one of them, and they answered, and he is answering the question of Nimi Maharaj. Karabhajana Muni is answering. The question of Nimi Maharaj was, what are the respective colors, forms and names of the 4 Yugavataras which appeared in 4 different Yugas, and the process to worship them? This is the question asked by Nimi Maharaj, and in return he has answered so far the different Yugavataras and what are their names, forms and how they are to be worshipped and all of that. And before he is concluding, he is going to tell now, so how taking shelter of the Supreme Lord Mukunda is all in all, that then there is no need to worship other demigods and other personalities. And the Phalastuti for this chapter is given at the end, which is going to be read after very few days. So that is that anyone who hears with fixed attention the narrations described herein, he will develop pure devotional service and he will return back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So that is the surety given, that just by hearing these pious narrations, one can achieve the highest perfection of going back home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. So the verse says, yes, Devarshi Bhutapta Nadam Pitranam. The demigods, which are in 33 crore in number, the demigods, and the sages, numerous, innumerable sages are there who have given us all the Vedic literatures. Bhuta, all the living entities, at least there are 84 lakh species of life. Apta, friends and relatives, they are at least in thousands for each one of us. And then Dhrinam, the ordinary men of this material world whom we depend on. And then the Pitris, forefathers. So we pay our debts to demigods by offering sacrifices. And then we read the scriptures scrutinizingly given by these sages. And by doing so, we can pay our debts to all the sages. And Bhuta. Bhuta means all the living entities. So we need to show compassion to them, and whatever we can do to them, offering food that can be done, by doing so, we can also pay their debts. Apta, loving, apta means our friends and relatives. By showing affection and love, we can also pay their debts. Dhrinam, people in general, we can remain grateful for whatever they are doing for us. By doing so, we can pay our debts. And Pitris, all the forefathers. So we need to offer Shraddha or such ceremonies, just so that we can also pay our debts to them. But practically, it is not possible for any one of us to take care of all these six kinds of people whom we are supposed to pay our debts. So therefore, it is advised in this verse that better we surrender to the Supreme Lord, who is Mukunda. By doing so, we don't have to pay our debts to these people, because it is practically not possible also. Even if one wants to do that, it is simply not possible. So therefore, why not better surrender to the Supreme Lord, and just by surrendering unto Him, all the debts are cleared off. So therefore, that is the surety given herein. So therefore, it is said in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shrestha tat tat evaitaro jana sayat pramana kurute lokostad anuvartate. Yad yad acharati shrestas. Those who are shrestas, highly elevated people, whatever they do, common men will follow them. Sayat pramana kurute lokostad anuvartate. Whatever standard they said, the entire mankind will follow. So therefore, Krishna spoke this verse in Bhagavad Gita. So he personally also practiced what he preached. That means when he was the king of Dwarka, Dwarkadish, he used to personally, every morning he would pay oblations to the demigods. Fire sacrifices he used to conduct himself personally. So although he is Supreme Lord himself, but still he is offering all these oblations and prayers and pujas to all these demigods, just so that people in general can follow in his footsteps. Although he doesn't have to do that, but still he has set that example. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also personally went to Gaya, and he offered Shraddha ceremony for his forefathers. Although he is also Supreme Lord, but he is setting the right example how to be a best devotee. He came as a devotee. So he is setting example by his own behavior. And in 7th canto, Lord Narsingadev tells Prahlad Maharaj, so anyway, your father is delivered. So, but still, nevertheless, you perform Shraddha for him, just so that people in general, your subject will be able to follow in your footsteps. So, as per the order given by the Supreme Lord Narasimha Devi, so even Prahlad Maharaj offers Shraddha ceremony to his departed father. And we know Advaita Acharya, who is another great devotee of the Supreme Lord, the incarnation of the Lord, Mahavishnu. He also offered Shraddha to his forefathers. And he was very revolutionary. He called Haridas Thakur to accept Shraddha Patra first time. So he also, following in the footsteps of the Supreme Lord, he also offered Shraddha. And Janaka Maharaj also did all the followed all the Vedic injunctions, rituals, just so that he could become a best example for his descendants and his subjects. So we see that there are so many kings and great lords who have, though knowing well the principles of Bhagavatam, they have still done their duties of offering oblations. And some of them, most of them, they are all pure devotees. So it is said in this, the purport, that one who has not developed a pure devotional service by hearing and chanting, so he has to, you know, offer all these things to the forefathers and demigods. That means that one who has become a pure devotee, he doesn't have to, isn't it? But when we see their examples, although they are perfectly exemplifying pure devotional service in their life, but still they are just going through the rituals, just so that those who are not pure devotees should also be able to do these rituals. So, but on the other hand, we have devotees like Jadabharata, who is also almost on the level of devotional, pure devotional service, because he fell down as Bharat Maharaj. So this time he didn't take any chances. That means, although he knew all the Shastras very well, the conclusions of all the scriptures, but still he did not take care of these, you know, offering oblations and this and that. What to speak of, you know, following all these rituals? He was not ready to take even proper bath. We know how, what happened to his father, how he was trying to tell him to take proper bath. He couldn't even follow that. So that means there are some devotees who are very highly elevated on that platform. If they act like that, doesn't mean that others have to follow them. And we have the example of Madhavendra Puri, another pure devotee. He says in his prayers, Sandhya Vandanam Astu Bhavato Bho Snanam Tubhyam Namo. That means goodbye to all these rituals, especially he's telling Sandhya, three times we do Sandhya Vandana. So I cannot do this Sandhya Vandana because I am tired of doing all of that. And I cannot take bath, you know, at times. So I have given up all these things. Why? Because I have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is an enemy of Kamsa. And I think that is sufficient for me. I don't have to worry about it. Let people think whatever they have to think. So he's not concerned with others, what they have to say. And some time ago, I was in Gaya Dham with some devotees on Yatra. And my parents also had come there. So my parents, they wanted to offer Shraddha to their forefathers. And first we went to that Supreme Lord's abode, Vishnupada Padma, where the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, you can see the right foot of Lord Vishnu is there. And it is very clearly visible, and devotees, right from the morning, they come and offer prayers and pujas, and very beautiful worship goes on. And they pour milk on that. And the imprints are seen when the, because everything is black, you cannot make out. So when you pour milk there, so milk remains in that place where there is a depression. I mean, there are imprints. Thus you can see the original footprints of the Lord, and people go and offer prayers and other things. So we went there, and then we came back to that area where that Phalgu River, no? It's not visible though, But it is a there we need to sit. I mean, parents they sat and other devotees, and we were observing. And one brahmana came and he started doing all that rituals. And of course, he was a common priest for at least 3-4 of such those who had come for offering oblations. And other two gentlemen, 3-4 of them, they were sitting. And everything is now set. He had to start now. He started off. And then all of a sudden, one gentleman, he started yelling at this brahmana. All of a sudden. Who the hell you think you are, and why are you charging so much? And what kind of ritual is this? You are not brought this, you are not brought that, and all of that. It's happening right there in front of everybody. And so many people came forward up to console him. Baba, now it is, he's doing it for you. You anyway, you have already paid for it. And what is the worry? And it appeared that he was a very rich man. At least 3-4 of them, they were there offering oblations. And few rupees, you know, few thousand rupees. And he's offering to that priest, and he's already started doing that offering. But still, you know, he was so hesitant to, you know, give that money. And he said, I am giving so much money, but you people are not even doing it properly. And all of that he was accusing. And so everybody had to come forward and console him, no problem, everything will be all right. So it went on like that. So this is the state of affairs nowadays, that people can go up to even Gaya Dham, which is exclusively meant for going there and offering oblations. And few rupees, just offer it and offer oblations. Everything will be done. And it appeared that they are very rich, at least from their outlook it was looking like that. But they are not ready to, you know, happily give that money to him. And their parents must have done so much for them when they were children. And when it's the time to offer, you know, their Shraddha, and they were not very happily doing it. So this is the state of affairs. What to speak of, you know, worshipping demigods and all other entities, what we have discussed so far. So it is simply not possible. So therefore we see that there are two extremes people take. One is that, you know, if they are pious enough, then what they will do, they will offer oblations and sacrifices to the demigods and take care of all the living entities and so far. And at the end they may give up Krishna. So we are doing anyway to all these demigods. So without understanding that these demigods are favored by the Lord himself personally, and Krishna says, Aham Adirhi Devanam Maharshanam Cha Sarvashah. I am the source of demigods and all the sages. No? Because of not aware of the principles of the Lord's injunctions, so they end up rejecting Krishna. On the other hand, another extreme, the devotees of the Lord, they understand, okay, we are supposed to worship Krishna and we are worshipping Krishna. So who will care for these demigods and other things? We have done our part because we have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord. So we don't have to worship all these other people. So therefore, you know, it is very clearly mentioned in the purport that those who are not yet developed pure devotional service to the Lord, so they are supposed to offer all these rituals while performing our pure devotional service simultaneously. So, we see the example of Daksha Maharaj. Daksha, he performed yajna for Lord Vishnu. And it was a very, very elaborate yajna he performed. But he was not ready to offer respects to Lord Shiva, who was his own father-in-law. Although he knew that he is the greatest of the demigods. He is worshipping Lord Vishnu, but he is disrespecting the demigods. That will not do in the sense. if one worships the Supreme Lord, but you should be able to understand that the part and parcel of the Supreme Lord are these great sages and demigods and other living entities. He should be able to respect them also. Not only simply worshipping the Lord and disrespecting all these demigods and sages. And in Mukundamala, our King Kulashekara, he says that in one of the verses, our master is the Supreme Lord, Lord Vishnu, who is the maintainer of the three worlds. And we can easily meditate upon him and we can perfect our lives. And we can go back home, back to Godhead, where he shares his own opulences with anybody who comes there very happily. Yet we are so wretched that we don't want to serve our Supreme Lord Vishnu. Rather, we prefer to serve some chief of a village who has some rupees or some gold coins with him. This is what he says. How wretched a life of a person who is like behaving in that way. So that means people are willing to serve people of this world, so-called masters, who can hardly reward them. But they will continue to do that throughout their life, but they are not willing to take the best of the master, the Lord himself. And by serving him, they can end up all the problems of their life and then they can go home back to Godhead. But that is not possible for them because they are not aware of the injunction of the scriptures or conclusion of the scriptures. So therefore it is very essential everybody to go through these scriptures and understand them and then follow them. So therefore it is said, Yam ladva chaparam labham mannate nadikam tataha Yasmin Sitona Dukhena Gurunapi Vichalyate. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that after achieving the supreme destination, the lotus feet of the Lord, one thinks that now I don't have to do anything because this is the highest, because I have found the best of the masters. So when we tell them, when tell people in general, you worship Krishna, he is the best of the masters. They say, we already have our master who is paying for us, who is taking care of all our needs. So why to worship Krishna? And they say that our Mars, you say that Krishna is Supreme Lord and he is a perfect master. But whomever we have as our master, he is also perfect, no problem. So why to worship Krishna again now? The next line clears it. What is that? Yasmin Sittona Dukkena Gurunapi Vichalate. Okay, when the difficulties come in your life, then what will you do? So anybody will be shaken. So even at the greatest of difficulties, if one is able to maintain that faith in that master whomever he is serving and is not at all disturbed by these anxieties and difficulties, then he can say that my master is perfect. And because nobody else can take care of any living entity at the time of his difficulties other than the Supreme Lord, so therefore those who claim that they are the best masters, they are not actually. And similarly, those who think that my master is anyway the best, so that also cannot be accepted because he is not the Supreme Lord. He cannot offer the benedictions like Supreme Lord. So therefore, in that purport, Gopi Pranadhana Prabhu and others, they have written a beautiful story which Prabhupada has used to say. Prabhupada tells this story. He says that there was a villager. And that villager was very fond of serving somebody who is great. That villager found, because he was in a small village, and he found the village chief to be the best because he had a big bungalow, a lot of land and servants and this and that. So he thought, I should serve him because he is the best. He is very rich and he is best of the masters. So he went to him and he requested, may I become your servant? He was accepted immediately. So, oh, no problem, you come and serve me. So, he started serving this village chief. And then, after some days, everything was going fine. The district magistrate came there. And when he came there, the village chief was running around doing this and that to the district magistrate. And villager, you know, one who wanted to serve, he had a great burning desire to serve whoever is the best. And he started thinking that although I serve this my lord, village chief, but he appears to be servant of this great magistrate. So who is he? Then he started inquiring and he found out that he is so and so, is very popular and very charismatic and this and that, influential. So, okay, then he approached, this villager approached this magistrate and requested, "So, dear sir, can I become your faithful servant?" And magistrate said, "No problem, you can come and serve me. What is the problem?" And he managed to go there. He started serving that magistrate in the city. And days went by like that. And then one fine day, the magistrate had to go to the city, the kingdom, because the king had called him. So he went there, and along with him, personal servant also went. And where he was, you know, trying to serve this king, the supreme, the magistrate. And this servant observed, although I was serving him, I thought he is the best. But he is serving somebody else. I think king is the best. And he managed to go to king and convince him, "May I become your servant?" King said, "No problem, come." And he started serving the king now. He thought, how can there any be other than king? So king is the supreme, he is the lord of the entire country. So he thought, now my search is finished. And he was happily serving the king, and king was also rewarding him nicely. So life went on like that for some time. And then one fine day, the king went to pilgrimage. And he saw a sadhu and he offered obeisances and humbly inquiring and doing all those menial services to this sadhu. And the servant started thinking, I thought my king is supreme, but this king is going and serving this simple sadhu, ascetic. And then he understood that I think this ascetic, this sadhu must be great, because otherwise why my king would serve him? And he went to king and he said, no, actually I want to serve whoever is the greatest. It appears that somebody is greater than you, this sadhu, otherwise why would you serve him? So may I go and join him? King said, no problem, go. He left king and he went to that sadhu and he started serving him. And then it so happened that one day the sadhu said, "You know something, you are worshipping me, you are giving up all these services to king, this and that, and you are coming to me thinking that I am the supreme, because king is worshipping me. Actually, I am a beggar, I am nobody. I will take you to my lord who is supreme of all." So he took him to the temple of Lord Krishna nearby and he showed him, you know. So if king worships me, okay, so then I am worshipping this king, the supreme king, Lord Krishna. So then why don't you worship this king, this supreme, best of the masters? And because this servant was so simple and dedicated to serve whoever is the supreme, so he immediately got attracted to the service of the deity. And then he started worshipping the supreme lord. And thus he perfected his life. So therefore, Prabhupada tells this story that by serving the great, we can become great. People, they want to become great, but they don't know how to become great. It is simply by accepting the service to the supreme, greatest of all, the Lord, one can become great. So therefore, in Sotra Ratna, Bilomangal Thakur says that, Bhavantameva nucharan nirantara prashanta nishesha manurathantara kadahamaikantike nitya kinkara praharshayishyami sanatha jivita. He says that bhavantameva nucharan nirantara, Oh my Lord, I have found you and have started worshipping you. So what has happened? All my material desires are subdued and mind has become pacified fully. I am now perfect. My mind is not troubling me anymore. And I am perfectly happy. Yet I want to become your Nitya Kinkara. I want to offer you intimate loving devotional service unto you, my Lord. Because you are the best of the masters. And where can I find other than you the best of the masters? So thus he is praying unto the Supreme Lord. That he is saying that Sanata Jivita. Sanata means one who has Natha or Master. Once when Srila Prabhupada was here in Mumbai, near Juhu, before the construction of the temple, he used to walk on that Juhu beach. And with Giriraj Maharaj and other devotees, they were walking. And Prabhupada happened to see a dog walking by. Master was there and dog was walking. And dog was very fat and very confident, very fearless. And looking at the dog, Prabhupada immediately remembered this. Bhavantam evana charan nirantara. Prashanta nishyesha manur. Just look at this dog, how fearless he is and how confident he is and how fat he is. Because he has accepted somebody as his master. And he has no fears at all. He has no worries, who will feed me, what will happen to me. He has no fears. Because he has accepted somebody as his master. And this master is providing for him, so the dog has no anxieties at all. So similarly, the Supreme Srila Prabhupada said, we have to accept our master, the Supreme Lord, and we are supposed to be his dogs. That means perfect servants. So when one accepts a master like Lord Krishna, then his anxieties will be finished. Just like the dog is now fearless and very happy. So that is how even Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, Tomito Thakura, Tomara Kukura Janiho More. So that means you are Supreme Lord, you are my master, and I am your servant, I am just like a dog, so let me serve you. So being a dog of a Supreme Lord, of the Supreme Lord, is perfection of one's life. Because that is what every scripture is telling us, to become the servant of the Supreme Lord. And we have heard the story of Govinda Ghosh. It's explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. At least in a shortly it is described over there. So Madhava Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh and Vasudeva Ghosh. They were three brothers. And they were very dear to the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as well as Lord Nityananda. And they are called as eternal servants of the Supreme Lord, both of them. And they were famous, especially Govinda Ghosh was famous for his beautiful and melodious singing, devotional singing. And whenever he used to sing, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately would start at once dancing in ecstasy. So he had a special love for all these three brothers, Govinda Ghosh, Vasudeva Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh. And Govinda Ghosh used to take part in his kirtans, especially in Srivasangan. He used to be there with the Lord every time, every night they used to sing. And also, in every Rathyatra he used to be in the fourth party. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had seven parties. In the fourth kirtan party, Govinda Ghosh was the lead singer and Vakreshwar Pandit was the lead dancer. And for the pleasure of the Lord Jagannath and Lord Mahaprabhu, he used to sing very beautifully. And at the house of Raghava Pandit, when Lord Chaitanya went there, so he was also accompanying the Supreme Lord and singing for his pleasure. And it is also explained that Nagar Kirtan, which when happened, Nagar Sankirtan, to go to the house of Kaji, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with so many devotees. And at that time also, Govinda Ghosh was there with him singing along with the Supreme Lord. So he is considered as one of the very intimate associates of the Supreme Lord. So he lived in the town of Agradipa, it is mentioned there. And on the order of the Supreme Lord, he started worshipping the deity of Lord Krishna. And then and by the order of the Lord, he got married. And then he had a son. And very soon after his marriage, after having his son, both of them, they died, his wife and child. And he was just serving the Lord. And when he grew old and he started thinking, now who will offer me Shraddha? Because if I have to die, I will die one day. Then who will do my Shraddha? And he was worried about it. And he was thinking, what will happen, what will happen? Because in as a tradition, it is important to have a son who can offer Shraddha to one when his forefathers or father departs. So he was very much worried about it. What will happen to me? And thus he was living his life. One day the deity came in his mind, in his dream. Do you know the name of the deity? Shushrada Gopinath. Gopinath came in his dream and he asked, Govinda Ghosh, why are you worrying so much? I am there, your son. I will take care of your Shraddha. Why you should worry? So, and eventually Govinda Ghosh departed from this world, went back to Godhead. And the deity, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, writes the commentary. Prabhupada actually quotes him. In his Anubhasha, he writes that even till date, during that period that comes in the Vaishakha month, the deity actually is taken from the temple of Gopinaji deity, taken to that Krishnanagar. It is said that it goes to Krishnanagar, and there the deity offers Shraddha ceremony to his dear devotee Govinda Ghosh, and then the deity is taken back to the temple. So therefore, this is how the reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees. So, Lord can become one's master, brother, just like in case of Pandavas, he was like their, you know, brother. And he can become son also in case of Vasudeva and Devaki, Nanda and Yashoda. Here also in the case of Vasugosh, I mean Govinda Ghosh, is acting like a very respectable and very perfect son, and is offering final rites and oblations to his forefather, I mean Govinda Ghosh. And this is how the service to the Supreme Lord is. It is so perfect, that it is so beautiful, that one accepts such a master like Lord Krishna, then all his anxieties are finished and he can perfect his life. So, this is what I thought of discussing on this particular verse. So, also, we are in the month of January. So, we discussed that how we have to pay back our debts to the sages, isn't it? We pay back our debt to the sages by studying the scriptures very scrutinizingly. So, Srila Prabhupada, our dear Acharya, has given all these Vedic literatures, so many in number, at least 40. He is surrounded with all those Vedic literatures there. And he told us to scrutinizingly study them every day, which we do also. But at the same time, his request is that we need to also go out and distribute these books. So we have got an extra debt, not only reading, but also distributing these Vedic literatures. So therefore, all the devotees are very much committed to distribution of these books. So we also need to take part. So let us take part and do whatever we can do to pay back our debts to our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada and all other predecessor acharyas. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki.